Good morning, Columbia and Greene County. You're tuned to 90.7 WGXC, Creative Community Hands-On, community listener-supported radio. Good news, listeners, we're turning five. WGXC is a cantankerous little toddler. We're 5 years old. We're going to be celebrating that. Our High Five Pledge Drive is coming up. I believe it'll be kicking off with the Thursday morning show next Thursday morning at 7 a.m. So stay tuned for that. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. Celebrations. So my name is Tyson. You are tuned to the House of Zoom for the next hour. I'm going to stay with the time travel thing. I was going to finish Behold the Man by Michael Moorcock, but there is a sex scene in it that's quite integral to the story, and I need to sort of either edit it or omit it, but yet keep in the essence of what's going on. So I'm going to try to get that together for next week, and then we're going to get into some Vonnegut, the Slaughterhouse-Five time travel stuff. I'm working on an essay for that. We'll get into that, and time travel is just an amazing thing, and it's kind of limitless, so I'm going to stay with it for a while. And this week is going to be an impressionistic kind of situation based on my theory of time travel, which the Terminator sort of suggested, that one travels through time completely naked, organic, nothing mechanical. That's not an organic mechanic type situation can really move through the time streams. So I'm going to do a sonic kind of naked sort of time travel kind of thing. So stay with me. And as always, Tyson is privileged and pleased to be serving WGXC. WGXC.org, check us out, get involved. Come on, won't you? Here we go. Thank you.
two were together 5 days ago. The last day of 1899.
There in that box is the result of 2 years later. I wanted to finish the job before the new century began. Cheers, Dean.
Bob is on board.
Yes, what is it?
Well, it has to do with time.
Oh, I've always maintained what the station needs is a reliable timepiece. Navy needs one. The Army needs one. The roof of the artillery, you know.
Well, you couldn't do better, James. That's why you've been in hiding, eh? That's very clever of you, Navy.
I don't think George is referring to a new type of timepiece. When I speak of time, gentlemen, I'm referring to the fourth dimension.
Go on, George.
Well, the difficulty in explaining the fourth dimension is that it cannot be seen or felt.
If you don't mind, George, would you refresh me on the first three dimensions?
Really? Surely they taught you something in school.
Suppose you explain it, Doctor.
Certainly. For example, when I move in a straight line, forward or backward, that's one dimension. And when I move left, right, two dimensions. And when I move up or down, three dimensions. For instance, that box. That box is three dimensions, length, breadth, height.
So what is the fourth dimension?
Oh, well, that's mere theory. No one really knows what the fourth dimension is, or even that it exists.
Fourth dimension is a real and true dimension to anyone. In fact, they couldn't exist without it.
What do you mean?
Let's take that box. It has the first three dimensions, as you said.
All right, what's in that box?
Let's consider this first. Why is it that we usually ignore the fourth dimension? Because we have no real movement in that. So we can't move in the other three. Up, down, forward, sideways, backward, as the doctor said. But when it comes to time, we're prisoners.
No.
George, you've given a most lucid explanation and all that, but I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Walter, look, there are many things in this world you don't understand.
Yes, right, quite a number.
When you don't refuse to believe in the cause of the doctor.
Oh, not if I can see the proof with my own eyes.
Gentlemen, all I'm asking you now is to witness a demonstration of the possibility of movement within the fourth dimension.
Tell us what this contraption's really for.
I've already told you, Doctor. The larger model can be used to carry a passenger on a journey through time. Not through space, mind you, but through time.
I say, George, you're going to start flirting about in the future. Aren't you going to rather mess things up for the rest of us?
Oh, the future's already there. It's irrevocable and cannot be changed.
I wonder. That's the most important question which I hope to find an answer.
Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
Here, George, if you've gone out of your head, I'll forgive you. But if you've made us waste all this time listening to you talk to
my... No, Doctor. You're here as witnesses. To see, not to listen.
To see?
What? The experiment I'm about to perform. First, let me tell you how it works. Here, in this compartment, you see the saddle where time travel sits. And in front of them are the controls. Wait, let's do this properly.
Spare us a cigar, I trust, Doctor.
Now, let us imagine that this cigar is the time travel. In front of him is the lever which controls me. Forward pressure sends the machine into the future. Backward pressure into the past. And the harder the pressure, the faster the machine travels.
Of course, our little experiment can be performed only once. If it succeeds, I lose my model forever. That's why I need witnesses.
Your hand.
starting to see the sun arc in less than a minute.
You see a snail race by. My flowers flinging wide their petals to embrace the new day. And the hours speeding across the face of my sunlight. And the flowers closing their eyes for the night. One day, changes that come into hours occurred in seconds.
Dear Mrs. Watcher, always able to tell me what time to wear, never able to decide to wear anything more stylish than the type of clothes you've worn all this year. And as you know, it's fair, very soon. First, I wondered if my machine and I were the cause of the panic. Well, I was soon to find out that we weren't.
Keep it moving here, shove it on. Come on, into the
Two wars ago.
1915.
the chip.
Why, about my father.
In the house, he used to stand across the way.
Well, that's impossible.
We haven't changed. What's the deal with that? Take your clothes.
No, don't worry.
You'll be dead. We'll take the time to explain. That's the last alert. Hurry. Let's be off. Atomic satellite zeroing in. That's important. Come on.
Alive and encased in stone forever. I pray, wondering how many centuries, how many eons must pass before the wind and rain could wear away the mantle of Hoth. Thousands of centuries have passed, but the earth had stayed green. There was no winter, no wars. I had finally learned to control both the elements and himself. I had to stop and find out. But I stopped too fast. Natural splendor. The whole land. landscape, one vast garden without any sign of weeds or briars. Trees with vines laden with fruit, strange shapes and colors. Nature tamed, more bountiful than ever before. At last I found a paradise. But it would be no paradise if it belonged to me alone. Body of men who pass and enforce laws.
Laws? There are no laws.
Where do you get your food and clothing? Doesn't anybody work?
No.
Where does all that come from?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Yes, I know, but it must be cultivated, planted, nurtured. Well, unless you...
You mean you have an economy so well developed that you can... spend all your time studying and experimenting, is that right?
You ask all questions.
Well, that's the only way that man has learned and developed. I wish to learn. I want to learn about you, about your civilization.
Perhaps you... Do you have books?
Books?
Yes, we have books.
Oh, wonderful. I can learn all I want about you from books. Books will tell me what I want to know.
Well, could I see the books?
Time. I want to get bothered and tell them that you
that until this government of ours assumes its rightful place of responsibility in the world, we will remain an isolated, terribly provincial, static community of states. You know what I say we should do about it? I'll tell you what we should do. We should take the American fleet, send it over to the Orient, and plant the American flag. Then on down to Australia, then back across the Pacific to South America, planting the American flag as we go. Planting her deep, planting her high, planting her proud.
You ought to run for office, Mr. Hanford.
Believe me, my dear lady, I've thought of it. But finance comes first. It's the lifeblood of the nation. And the bank needs me. Hey there, Mr. Driscoll. What are your international views?
I don't have any, Mr. Hanford.
Of course you do, man. Of course you do. Everybody has to have views as to the destiny of our country. Now, you take the case of the Indian Wars 5 years ago. All this silly, conciliatory nonsense about giving the Indians lands. As if you could actually make savages understand treaties. Why, we should have had 20 George Custers and 100,000 men, and we should just have swept across the plains, destroying every redskin who faced us. And then we should have planted the American flag deep, high, and proud.
I think the country is tired of fighting, Mr. Hanford. I think we were bled dry by the war. I think anything we can get by treaty, as long as it saves lives, is the proper course to pursue.
Young lady, I trust that this isn't the path you spoon-feed to your students. Treaties indeed, peace indeed. Why, the virility of a nation is in direct proportion to its fighting qualities. We'll live to see the day when this country of ours fields an army of a million men. And I mean just sweeps everything before us. I'm sorry, Mrs. Chamberlain. I get carried away. You're some kind of pacifist, are you, Driscoll?
No, I'm just some kind of sick idiot who's seen too many young men die because too many old men like you fight their battles at dining room tables.
Oh, my goodness. I take offense at that remark, Mr. Driscoll.
And I take offense at armchair warriors who don't know what a shrapnel wound feels like, or what death smells like after 3 days in the sun, or the look in a man's eyes when he realizes he's minus a leg and his blood is seeping out. Mr. Hanford, you have a great enthusiasm for planting the flag deep. You don't have a nodding acquaintance with what it's like to bury men in the same soil.
I'll not sit here and take talk like that.
No, no. You'll go back to your bank, and it'll be business as usual until the next dinner time when you'll give us another of your vacuous speeches about a country growing strong by filling its graveyards. Well, you're in for some gratifying times, Mr. Hanford. You can believe me. There'll be a lot of graveyards for you to fill. In Cuba, then all over the world, sit on the sidelines and wait for your pennies. But according to your definition, this country's going to get virile as the devil. Thank you.
room?
Thank you.
tuned to House of Zoom on 90.7 WGXC Acre, Catskill, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Hudson. My name is Tyson. I appreciate your kind attention for the last hour. Stay tuned for the Monday Musical Matinee. Coming up next, the main event. So that was sort of a sound painting of being in the time streams, traveling in an organic shell through time. One would have to be naked in milky fluid, no mechanical anything. Disembodied voices and chants and things from time just surrounding you as you fly through the time stream, the multi-layered highway of time, each lane being a different time. Stay tuned. We're turning five, and there's going to be all kinds of celebrations of WGXC for WGXC being on the air, serving Green and Columbia for the last 5 years. The seeds are planted. Things are growing. There's low-power community stations popping up a little to our north, Troy and Albany. Trends are being set. We're sick and tired of Clear Channel, so get involved with these stations and take back what's yours. Thanks for your kind attention. I'll be back again next week on Monday for another House of Zoom. And stay tuned for our High Five Pledge Drive coming up February 11th through the 26th. We'll all be on talking, pitching. So it's symbiotic, guys. Stay tuned. Thank you again. Finish out the House of Zoom.